BlogTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Chill out, dickwad.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Fuck you, you little dipshit.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Come with me if you want to live.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
I swear I will not kill anyone.
The Omega.
Now don't take this the wrong way. But you are a Terminator, right?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
I need a vacation.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now listen to me very carefully.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
This is Matt Hardy.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels. You'd be a fool if you don't check out WCI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Hey, this is
Chris
Jericho.
It's me. It's that B-O-double-G.
WTR Sunday Night.
Will you hurry up? This is taking too long.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We have a pay-per-view to preview, which barely has anything announced. We have a pay-per-view to talk about, which is not going to be comfortable.
Goldberg, 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 Goldberg.
It's gonna hurt. I've looked forward. I have been happy to forget about that show all week, but now we're gonna talk about it again.
Goldberg.
You are a dick.
Oh, this was worse Thursday when Lindsay couldn't even get out
words. I'm sure.
I was just going Goldberg through the words. At least I'm giving you a chance to speak. I was told not to go on the air after the show ended. That's how much I wanted to rant.
Okay, so, yeah, it's our turn to get our opinions out. So let's get started. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have our producer, Sir Rockin.
Goldberg.
It hurts. It hurts.
Suck an egg.
And as always, the one who is the last in the intro because he's the last one to get his shit working. The one and only Tim Stein.
At least the shit does work. Yeah, what am I killer? I did carry out the orders.
What?
I don't know. The music's too loud. Turn that down. Get off my lawn.
Goldberg, Goldberg.
Turn that down.
Goldberg.
Turn that down!
Turn that off.
Oh my god. Hey, good evening everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network streaming on Twitch TV. It's twitch.tv/something.
WTR live, and hold on 1 second. You said turn it down?
Shitty WWE mix of it.
No, that was the WC- yeah. No, that's the WCW version.
That's the original.
That was
the shitty original, not the shitty WWE version.
Oh, like there's a shitty WWE version. There's this one that actually sounds the way it used to, and then there's that version which is just like a lot deeper. It's weird.
That's the WWE version.
Yeah, that is shitty. I know that one.
Yeah, that one just sounds like it was made with a MIDI machine on computer.
And then apparently, he also had this song.
Oh God, that one. Oh fuck, that song.
Thankfully, I had forgotten about that completely, right up until the second you played the fucking thing.
Megadeth. Crush them.
The only Megadeth song not worth listening to. Anyway, yeah, we've got like three pay-per-view matches talking about with Elimination Chamber. There's a reason why there's only three announced, and it's because of what we are going to be reviewing tonight called Super Showdown, taking place in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well... Here's the thing, of all of the Super Showdowns, this one actually felt like the biggest one of all of the ones that have preceded it.
Most?
A more pay-per-view-y feeling to it is what I got.
Most noteworthy, I guess. I mean, Crown Jewel when Bray won the title was noteworthy, but nothing else really happened on that show.
Yeah.
And the last Super Showdown before that is just... It was noteworthy because Undertaker and Goldberg had a train wreck of a match. So, yep.
So there you go. This one could have been almost any one of the non-Big Four pay-per-views. I would venture to say.
It was your traditional February pay-per-view.
Pretty much, which is, you know. Hey, we don't get Fastlane this year, do we?
No, we only have the Chamber.
So, we had our fast line. It was called Super Showdown.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah, just leave it at that. Overall, I get it. There's outcomes and stuff like that people are bitching about like crazy and have been bitching about since Thursday. And, we're even told not to go on the internet and complain.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I was told not to go on the internet and complain. I was told to wait for 6 hours to do it. Which we did.
Until you calmed your ass down, which, yeah, I will, good luck with that one. Anyway. I don't know. Overall, it had its ups and downs. Really, tell you the truth, Omega, like, what was the biggest good that stuck out for you?
It ended.
That was the biggest good. Okay. Other than the fact that it ended, what was the least worst?
The least worst. I am legitimately, God, I had this prepped and now I still can't remember the damn show.
So, the Gauntlet match was booked interesting, but it turned out pretty okay. That was a high point.
I mean, I told you my opinion on Gauntlet matches is it only the last two matter, and that's exactly how that worked.
I would disagree on this one. R-Truth had a good show.
He had a good show,
but he was played for laughs for the entirety of the Gauntlet match until AJ Styles came out and finished him off.
And that white man tried to dance his ass off.
And then everything after completely ignored all of that happened. So only the last two matches mattered.
Omega has a point. He's not wrong, and he basically called it. And chatted with you about this match, Rock, while I was watching it last night on the replay. This is kind of sort of the idea that I had that I wanted to book when I was running my shows, but I had a totally, completely different outcome, specifically, precisely for the reasons Omega pointed out. It's only it comes down to the last two coming out, and those are the only two that matter. In my scenario, the first one out actually makes it to the final match with my booking.
In WWE, we've only seen that once, and that was the New Day trying to get Kofi's title shot at Mania.
Yep. But, playing for laughs. How long has he been doing this for? Playing for laughs, I mean?
For a long time.
Long time. Basically, here's what started it. What started it? Like, it was...
Please hit it.
In his original return, he came back from TNA, and at some point, he just went insane. Like, he came out to the ring in a Confederate uniform, in, like, the most, like, bizarre, what the fuck are you doing on national TV in that outfit. And I think ever since then, WWE has just had only interest in him when he's doing something wacky and, you know, he's kind of out of his mind.
Well, here's something that sticks out in my brain. At one point in time, he announced the wrong city legitimately in the ring. He actually honestly screwed up.
Oh, that was it. Yeah. Like, I think that was after this part.
Was that after the Confederate outfit?
Cause the Confederate outfit was when he was still a heel.
Okay.
So he was probably, I don't remember. Like that was a legitimate goof, but that was when they were just kind of using him as a, mostly as an enhancement talent.
Yeah. But that legitimate screw up sort of launched his, SMRT smartness into the stratosphere, I think, in my opinion. And they've been playing off it ever since, and they still are. And when he first comes out, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, what are they doing? R-Truth in an actual match, like one that matters, instead of this 24-7 title defense or regaining or whatever every single time he comes out?
Yeah, okay. Tim, as a pro wrestling booker,
yes, sir.
Why does anyone want the 24-7 title? Why does anyone want the belt that forces them to watch their back at all times, spend the entirety of Monday Night Raw running away from a horde of people, and apparently you can't even sleep on an airplane without actually getting vulnerable?
I don't know how much you're going to like this answer, but as a booker, it's a way for you to get all of your talent that you don't have anything for currently. A little bit of TV time and at least a paycheck.
Oh, I absolutely know. It's the only thing putting EC3, off the unemployment line right now.
Yeah.
Is running for R-Truth's ass. I'm asking you, is like, why in the world of kayfabe would anyone want this albatross around their waist?
Well, I kind of sort of just answered that for you, but, that's the legit answer. I don't have a
I know the legit answer.
Yeah, I don't have
I want to know why anyone would want that belt.
Champions make more, so every time you're a champion, you make more. You go to the pay window, you get more money.
Well, back in the day, that was true.
And that's the answer we're going to give from that one, because there is no other answer.
Because every time they talk about it, it's like, R-Truth would give promos where it's like, he sounds miserable being the champion, but he still wanted to win it every single week.
And also, Tim, there are announcers who still use the pay window reference on commentary. By God.
Well, that's, as far as using, the pay window reference on commentary, that just, that's just commentary enhancement and, furthering the illusion and the suspension of disbelief that we all as wrestling fans must now, embrace as part of the experience of professional wrestling, because we know too much. Every fan knows too much about the business anymore.
I just like some weird incentive. It's like, okay, if you manage to hold on to this damn thing for a month, you get a title shot, so just something like that.
Yeah, no. There is nothing like that. The incentive is, do you want a paycheck? You've got to go out and chase after this thing for 2 minutes right in the middle of that match. Otherwise, I got nothing else for you to do, and I can't pay you any money for just, being in the locker room. And that's literally it.
Also, if I'm the 24-7 champion, I just walk around all day at Monday Night Raw, big-ass backpack on, just stuffed, as full as I could get it. So it's impossible to get my shoulders to the floor.
That would actually be good booking.
I'm rocking up to Raw in a Ninja Turtle outfit, because good luck with this shell.
Yeah, like as far as for a comedy spot, that's actually smart booking. That's pretty good. The only problem is I can see that being overused, and you can't do something like that with that type of an idea.
Oh, I know.
Because, it becomes like one of my jokes.
But the fun of it is coming up with a new trick every week so that a champion seems really smart.
Yeah, that does take a little tiny bit of work.
Which they don't want to do with that championship.
Well, it's just, whatever. It's nothing more than a joke. And it's for the comedy. Because more and more, I see less and less of the comedy spots for actual, air quote, legit, real matches, like we used to get on a slightly more regular basis. And let's face it, a comedy match or a comedy spot in wrestling is, it's a different animal altogether. And it only works if the guys or gals, the people involved, pull it off as if they are deadly serious about it. And then you got guys like Shawn Michaels overselling every single move Hulk Hogan makes. So, but as far as that goes, there's that. Were you surprised about the outcome of the Gauntlet match? Did you know Undertaker was going to be there?
I knew Undertaker was going to be there.
You see, I didn't know Undertaker was going to be there because I've actually did everything I could just to step away from wrestling for the last week.
Well, I don't want Super Showdown spoilers.
There were reports that The Undertaker was seen in Saudi Arabia. I mean, WWE.com had a post about it. Then they had to take the post down because they showed an actual picture of The Undertaker, then repost it with a still shot, like a, you know, a professional shot, not just some little shot with him with a beanie on, an actual Undertaker picture.
And this is why I stayed away from it. I mean, you know, special pay-per-view events or special events or whatever, things like that. I don't want to, you know, Jerry Lawler used to show up at Raw and not read the script for the night. So yeah. His responses and reactions would feel more, genuine and real. And that's the thinking of some of us that have been in the business. There comes a point in time where it just gets to be too much, when you get all inside and up in the business of what's about to happen and what's going on. And this is an extension of my having bitched, for the longest time about spoilers. And one of the reasons why I was, you know, happy that SmackDown was finally a live program as opposed to something pre-taped and then showed four nights later.
So were you happy with the appearance of The Undertaker, Tim?
Well, as somebody who pops for Taker, as a, you know, as a fan, I was happy, you know, pleasantly, pleasingly surprised to see him.
Okay.
Coming, you know, and this is coming from not having any, you know, air quotes, spoilers or, inkling or knowledge or anything like that. You and I, Rock, basically talked very little about wrestling this past week compared to some weeks.
Yeah, because there's nothing to talk about.
Well, there is very little to talk about, but also, I, you know, again, it's like, okay, Saudi Arabia, the Super Showdown, you're adamant, you know, we have to watch this, and you've got, it's on Thursday during the day, so you've got from Thursday afternoon until Sunday evening to make sure you watch the show. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just not even going to read the dirt sheets. And I didn't.
Congrats, Tim. Good job.
Well, Gee, thank you. But it goes back to what I was saying, Omega, with all of us, especially our little group, diving in so deep under the covers as far as pro wrestling goes, it sometimes feels like work having to put it on USA or in Canada, Sportsnet 360. Sometimes it just feels like work to watch Monday Night Raw. Am I wrong?
I mean, not really. You know, it's, I would put that more toward the current quality of Monday Night Raw rather than any other particular complaint, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, the main focus here is, because we basically go to all these sites to see, well, what can we talk about this weekend? I don't know if you do that as much as I do or as much as Rock does.
I show up and talk, you know, I don't read the script.
There you go. It's okay, Jerry. It's just
no
oversaturation is what it is. By the time Sunday night rolls around and we're finished for the evening, I'm like, okay, is the new episode of Better Call Saul on because enough wrestling, right? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Right. And that's one of the detriments about the internet and, what has progressed as a result with, all of these news, these rumors, these dirt sheets, Meltzer saying shit like that. It is so different from when Meltzer would put out a weekly physical piece of paper that got mailed it to you, and then an email that got emailed it to you. Like back
now, you can just tweet them to find out what's going on.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You go to all of these, all these social media platforms and get into all of the wrestling talk, and you get people who hate everything no matter what, because it's cool to hate everything no matter what. And then you get people who are just so pie in the sky that nothing, not even logic and intelligent reasoning, can make them understand it's not as good as they're making it out to be. And it's like, from one extreme to the other, please pick a happy middle. And this is occasionally what I do actually try to do. Step away from all of the insider stuff and everything. And, you know, turn on AEW on Wednesday or NXT or Raw and not know that you're expecting to have Brock Lesnar in a surprise match against The Undertaker. Because when you get all of this stuff printed out on the internet and all these different websites, oh, hey, there's a surprise coming. Well, what's the surprise? Well, this is going to happen. Well, it's no longer a surprise. And back in the 90s, when the internet was literally nothing, you didn't know Undertaker was going to make a surprise appearance. And when he did, you popped that much more, and it felt more entertaining than it can.
So long story short, Omega, what do you think of the Undertaker showing up at Super Showdown?
I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's what they do for Saudi Arabia, is they bring out the nostalgia acts, because that's all that the royal family knows. Like, it's cool to see him come out. Like, it's cool anytime Undertaker wants to show up, because it's the Undertaker, of course. You know, I take issue with everything else that happened. I take issue with, oh, it only took one choke slam to get a reasonably fresh AJ Styles down for three. I know it's Undertaker, but holy crap, way to bury him. And then I am the kind of asshole that remembers the minute that happened before Undertaker came out, where the referee is going, if AJ Styles' opponent doesn't make it to the ring by the count of 10, I'm sorry, you could have counted to a million. Taker still wouldn't have been in the ring.
When a wrestler's music hits, the count stops.
No, the count was already at 5, and their music hadn't hit. They started playing a video, and the ref went, oh, video. Oh, my God.
And what was
it? I've never seen video before.
Wait, wasn't that video of the OC getting their asses handed to them in the back?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right? So, like,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're a WWE referee. You've seen the OC on their backs before.
Oh.
Sound occurred. Someone in his ear said, stop your count. And you went on. That's what happened.
Yeah, it just
it's just funny to me, is all. It's just a terminology thing that makes me laugh.
Well, to your point, it's like watching a movie where they only have 10 seconds to defuse the bomb, and it takes them 90. Armageddon.
Oh, no. I come from the anime world in a show called Dragon Ball Z, where a villain said, this planet's blowing up in 5 minutes. 11 episodes later, 5 minutes hasn't gone by yet, and I'm not kidding. That's what happened.
Yeah, I think I heard something about that.
Okay, so I think that covers the gauntlet match. I think we're good there.
Yeah, pretty much. Up next we had...
Hold on, Tim. I got something for you. Hold on.
Oh, no. Okay.
You said to me, if you feel like steer the ship, so I'm going to do that. So we had...
Okay, Captain.
We had one old guy squash a younger guy. Cool. Let's talk about the other one. Brock Lesnar, Ricochet. Omega, go.
Thought Brock had fun with these matches. God.
You got 2 minutes. Go.
This is just...
I legit timed the match.
Well, we did make guesses about how long that would be.
I timed it as 1 minute and 29 seconds. Apparently, my prediction, what I thought I said was a little too high on here. My actual prediction was 1 minute and 37 seconds. I was really close.
Real close.
Yeah.
That's kind of close, yeah.
I mean, if you thought Brock and Ricochet were going to have a classic, I mean, that y'all were stupid thinking of that one. Ricochet.
I didn't think they do put on a classic, but for someone like Ricochet that they obviously are invested in, I expected them to have some showing.
But in the build up, they really didn't do much to push him.
Well, because it was a quick thrown together thing. It's not meant to.
Yeah, and by that same token, you stop and you think about it, if you want to creep into a little bit of reality, Ricochet has no business being in the same ring as Lesnar at the same time.
He's not reached that plateau yet in his career. I mean, he's great talent, but they've not put him in that position to be in the ring with Rock. A couple of blows between each other got him a title shot, a filler title shot. But it's okay, he'll rebound. This ain't gonna hurt him.
There you go. Yeah.
Let's stay with the theme. Old guy squashing younger guy.
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?
The Universal Championship match. Goldberg, Bray, The Fiend, Wyatt.
There's only one reason this happened, and it's not because the old guy.
There's a few reasons why this happened.
There's one main reason. Vince will not give up in his stubborn effort to push Roman over the top. Roman Reigns is going to fight Goldberg at WrestleMania for that title and win. And the whole thinking is if he goes up against the Fiend's a heel. Bullshit, the Fiend's a heel. Not according to the crowd, he's not. But if you put the Fiend against Roman and Roman wins, beats him, takes the title, how is this crowd going to respond to Roman? Well, we're back pre-leukemia. And worse, that's the reason why.
I mean, they put him in a 5-month feud with King Corbin that had a steel cage match on this show that bored the crap out of everybody.
I didn't hate it.
Was it good?
It wasn't great, but I didn't hate it. They did what they were supposed to do. They did what they needed to do.
Did you need to see the match?
I didn't need to see the match. I did not need to see the match. There's your answer.
So it was a pointless match on a show.
I'm happy that this match basically, this match occurs basically to, put this feud to bed.
2 months too late.
2.5 months too late.
I mean, let's be real.
But that's the good thing about this steel cage match is it ended this damn feud. Now we can start picking on Goldberg and call him Oldberg and shit.
Goldberg was booed on SmackDown. So badly they lower the crowd volume on his entrance. Couldn't hide it when he talked.
So here's what happens. WWE is trying to shop around their events and pay-per-views to raise revenue. So they want names on there, especially building up to WrestleMania that people recognize, executives recognize. And let's be honest, Goldberg is more marketable than The Fiend because The Fiend takes a little bit of explaining. So we have an outside, we have a marketing bullshit reason for Goldberg in the first place. Two, they wrote themselves into a corner when they made The Fiend the champion in the first place, because the champion shouldn't give a the Fiend shouldn't give a shit about a championship. You know, he should be a terror in the WWE. He's on this, we've seen like the victim wall where it's everyone who's wronged or, you know, humiliated Bray Wyatt in the past. You know, that's gonna continue at WrestleMania apparently. And that's what The Fiend should have been doing long before he was ever in a world title picture, but they booked themselves into a corner because there was no one else credible for Seth Rollins to go against. Well, and then there was no way to book him to not win the belt because obviously the unstoppable nightmare is going
to
do it.
Okay, let's be real. They did book a way not to give him the belt and then they did a rematch.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true.
Let's be real. They bullshitted Hell in a Cell finish to not put a belt on him and then they did. So
point is, they book him into a corner because he had to build up someone to be a god in order to actually be able to beat The Fiend for the belt. So you don't put him in the world title picture ever until you have someone built up who might be able to do that. And then you do the slow book to put the two together. You have this situation where you need something for The Fiend to do that doesn't have to do with the belt. And that's not a hard thing to do. You know, it's, I'm losing track of my thought here. Cause I was going somewhere with this and then it just kind of like trailed off.
If I could just take over for a second and sum this up. We went over this with Bray Wyatt back when Bray Wyatt was Bray Wyatt and how they were actually coming across as grooming a successor to Undertaker. And Undertaker didn't need that title. Every now and then he got a title, but he didn't need the title. He started out as the bad guy and he became a fan favorite, and then he's the good guy and he's the fan favorite bad guy, transitioning into, well, he's an icon.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So let's take Bray Wyatt and make him an absolute badass of the business who, like you said, doesn't give a shit about the title. Sure, let him chase the title because at some point in time, he's going to be in that position to get more over chasing the title than holding the title.
Don't even be a title chase because he's supposed to be too unstoppable. There is no chase. There is just he takes it.
That's kind of sort of what I was leading up to as the eventual build, which the way I was doing it was totally different than what I normally do, which is, you know, stretch shit out. I was compacting this.
Yeah.
But at a certain point in time, like you're saying, okay, well, we got somebody over here who's a monster and a good guy. We've got this guy who's a monster and a bad guy. They're going to collide down the road. One of them will have the title.
Yeah.
So we'll deal with this. This, Omega, how much breath did we waste saying that this is what they should have done with the original Bray Wyatt character when they brought him up?
And yeah, like we spent, God, it feels like years talking about it.
Cause it has been.
Yeah, literally, yes. We've been talking about this a long damn time.
Uh-huh.
Like, I remember where I was going with the point was they booked themselves into a corner with Fiend because they made him unkillable. They needed something that is equally unkillable. And in their heads, in WWE's booking logic, they want Goldberg to seem like the juggernaut he was back during the streak, during WCW's best run and him going up against the NWO and all that. You know, so they want it to be like, oh, absolutely. They want him to feel like the Goldberg of old where he just runs through people and that's what he does. So in WWE's booking logic, they book themselves into a corner with a Fiend. He can't do anything with him as the champion because he's too unkillable and he shouldn't care about the belt in the first place. Let's put him against Goldberg because the way we've booked him, Goldberg is the only one unstoppable enough to possibly take the belt. It shouldn't have taken a few spears and one really bad jackhammer.
So, I wouldn't even call it a jackhammer.
No, it wasn't.
And a lazy.
It wasn't at all.
And a lazy ass cover. Like he didn't even hook the leg. He grabbed the tight because he couldn't reach over.
Bad.
He couldn't reach
it
over and pull
really
the leg.
Bad.
I mean, come on. But
I mean, the only, like the way they save this, I think Bray started saving that a little bit on social media where he started saying like, okay, well, this was intentional to get the distraction off of him. It's like, if you could play it like the Fiend intentionally lost to Goldberg just to get rid of the belt so he could do whatever he wanted, that's fine. You could conceivably save it. That said, 53-year-old guy beat up the Fiend with only two moves.
Your unstoppable force is still Roman Reigns and has been for 5 years now. And he should have been the one to beat him.
He should have been. Like, he would have gone right back to mixed reaction Roman Reigns, like more so than he is right now.
But that's okay.
This is exactly the point I made at the beginning of this discussion. They don't want that same reaction for Roman.
You're gonna get it no matter what you do. Cause guess what? Fiend and Roman are gonna battle at some point this summer. It's inevitable.
Eventually.
And you're gonna get that reaction. It's inevitable.
Now,
but go-
don't expect to see the Fiend back in the title picture anytime soon.
No. He shouldn't be.
No. No, he's fighting John Cena at WrestleMania, Omega.
Yeah, which is right back to his whole Spirit of Vengeance thing.
I know last week you were adamant against John Cena fighting anyone with credibility. So he's now fighting Bray Wyatt. So, by the way, can we change the pattern of calling Bray Wyatt the next Undertaker? Cause he's not. He's the next man.
I don't like anyone being the next anything. But, everyone should be the first them.
But if you want to compare him to someone, he's more of a next mankind type person than the Undertaker.
He kind of is with a split persona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little closer to mankind.
So, that's my theory. So.
But the whole comparison with Undertaker was the whole, demon devil type guy because I think I made the point when the Wyatts first debuted, I mentioned they remind me of the Devil's Rejects. Well, the characters in the movie.
Yeah, well, they're the personification of horror, whereas The Undertaker was more undead zombie, which is kind of the 80s thing. You have Bray Wyatt, which is, you know, House of a Thousand Corpses style. You know, it's a more modern take on what fear and horror is.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we've touched on a lot of negatives from this show, right? Let's talk about some positives. Mansoor is on a streak, y'all.
Mansoor has been undefeated for years.
And it continues to grow. He's a legend.
He won in his home country.
Again. He's 4.
That right there defies WWE logic to begin with.
Yeah.
You don't win in your hometown, never mind your home country.
We also have new tag team champions on SmackDown.
Is that a positive?
I mean, it gives Miz and Morrison something to do. You know, I think both should be beyond tag teaming together.
SmackDown. How many legit main eventers do they have on SmackDown?
I was gonna say it's a lot, but yeah, it's because Fox wanted there to be a lot.
No, it's not. It's two.
It's two. It's not a lot. They got a lot of people that give you the impression, like, because of the booking, the writing, and everything else like that, the impression is they're main eventers, but they're not really. Because there's a very narrow focus right now on what's going on with that title.
Actually, we have three. There are three.
Tim. Yeah, I'm thinking three, but I'm also thinking, like, in my head, like, Miz and Morrison used to be up there, and God, they really shouldn't be as low as they are now.
Miz was WWE champ once.
Uh-huh. And Morrison was a champion everywhere he was, you know, while he was outside of WWE. He should have come back with some of that momentum the same way Drew McIntyre did.
But, and, you know, there was at one point in time, a case of, us being very pro WWE, television main event because they were getting rid of the oversized monsters. And the more average-sized competitors were believable as champions, starting with Bret and working to Shawn and going from there. And you had guys like Edge hold that title, right?
Yeah.
And just I don't know, with the whole return of Brock Lesnar, all of a sudden it's the monsters again.
Here's the thing. It's not even that. It's the it's the monsters from a previous era. Because we have a monster. We have two. We have a psychological monster and then we just have a really big ass dude and we see how both are treated.
But just keep in mind Goldberg's transitional.
I mean, no, Goldberg.
wait, are you breaking news that he's transitional? Oh, wait, no. He's a transitional champion. Got it.
I didn't say he was trans. I said he was transitional.
Not transitioning.
My bad.
And if you like to dress and drag, don't call yourself trans.
Nope.
Oh, I'm sorry. This isn't the 90s anymore. I can't do that. I have fun.
But also, going back to Ms. Morrison, I can't hate two best friends trying to reenact something and work together a little bit before probably they go on back on singles careers.
Yeah.
I really can't hate two best friends doing it. Finn Balor
is... Just answer Anubis Ash in chat. Yeah, Finn Balor's in NXT again.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, but Tim just walked over it. Anyway.
Well, it's about time somebody walked over you for a change.
Ha, funny. So, that's a positive. I get, Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy retain. That's a positive. Or Murphy.
Yeah. Well. He's no one's buddy anymore.
No, he's still Seth Rollins' buddy. He's just Murphy.
He's just disciple. As far as the match goes, yeah, I said it. The Street Profits were in no way, shape, or form ready, even though I like them. And I'm expecting big things from them. But this match kind of proved that they're not ready. I'm not saying it was bad.
It was fine.
It exposed them a bit.
And Angelo Dawkins
It exposed their lack of seasoning.
Mm-hmm. Angelo Dawkins has been in development a long time. He's okay. That's why he's in a tight team. Montez Ford has a lot of potential. But yeah, they're still a little bit away.
Yeah.
And one other thing that happened on this show that we need to talk about, the women actually got to put on a little bit more of a wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some glow.
There's a lot of neon lights all throughout the show.
But she got to glow it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, I was thinking that they probably, possibly, might not allow it to happen.
That is what you said.
Yeah. I'm happily incorrect.
I thought the finish was creative.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, yeah, I like the finish on this.
That helps Bailey's current character immensely.
Still don't know what the driver move is called that she does. They don't ever really say it. But the match was better than the Natty Lacey because that was straight up exhibition. They got to do stuff, some stuff. So that was, that's a good positive.
Well, it wasn't exhibition. It was for the title. So they actually had to do a bit more of a real match.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was a good step in the right direction. Like, they're taking strides.
It still just bends my brain where the guys can come out wearing their trunks and be shirtless and have their legs exposed. But the girls have to be covered from head to toe.
That's
culture.
Their culture, which is
that
way
is
behind.
Their culture. I'm not taking shots at their culture. Okay, that's just the Muslim way. And I'm not negative on the Muslim way at all. I got a lot of friends who happen to they happen to be Muslims, and I show them respect for their religion, their belief, and their culture. And it's not Sharia law. That's a little bit different than what we're talking about, and it was a little bit different completely. But it just because of what we're used to. What is different to us may seem strange is my point, I guess.
Okay. So
without being negative or bigoted or taking shots, because I'm not.
Steering it away from there.
Thank you.
Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza had a match that we see every week. And
why?
I don't know, because Angel Garza needed another win, because Humberto can't win.
No, you can't. It's the thing, it's like they've been trying to do stuff to build Humberto, and nobody is getting behind him because he still feels like such a blank slate.
Well,
I still have no idea why I should be invested in him.
Yeah, one of the problems with Humberto, his moveset is absolutely fantastic.
Everyone does it, though.
But it takes so goddamn long.
But he's also doing things everyone else does. And you see that a lot right now. Everyone's doing the same thing. And it's hard, unless you have a really good character, it's hard to get behind people like Humberto, who just, he's good wrestler, just missing it.
Yeah. And this is a feud that they pulled out last minute because Andrade went on the shelf for a wellness violation. So they needed to keep, Humberto busy, essentially, before they could pick that feud back up again. And what happened was they brought up someone from 205 who's actually like 10 times better. Because right off the bat, he has personality. Right off the bat, he stands out, and he's damn good in the ring, too.
But his character's so, you can't really buy into it because what they did on NXT with him, where they showed his actual human side, where he actually, they're trying to make him a ladies' man, right? On TV. Mm-hmm. They legit showed him proposing to his girlfriend on NXT TV.
It's still the main roster treatment for a new talent. They're not paying attention.
Oh, I know. It's just the person who watches NXT every week. It's like, oh, they gave you the real life moment and oh, he's the ladies.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But so yeah, I think that's all the matches from the show. I think
that is.
Yeah. Also the OC won their match against the War Raiders on the pre-show. So there was that. Though we have picks, we have results. Tim, how bad do you think you did?
Extremely.
What do you think you did?
How many matches were there?
10.
3 out of 10.
You were 5-5.
Oh, wow. Batting 500.
Yeah. Omega was finished 6-4. Sub finished 2-5. Rob was 3-4. Jenna was 3-4. 8-Ball was 4-3. Tim, Amy were 5-5. Kyle was 6-3. Jabber was 6-3. So was Chris P. Myself, Omega, and Lindsay were 6-4. And what's his bucket? Intern dude was 7-3.
What's his bucket? Intern dude?
Yeah, that intern dude, whatever his name is.
What's his bucket?
What's his
that
bucket?
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like okay.
One. Like that one. I'll get yelled out here in a second, but that's
three,
okay.
3, 2, 1.
We'll catch up on that one at some point. I'll get yelled out about that. So that's...
He catch up soon.
That's Super Showdown. Now there's another... I have a damn name. Yeah, it's what's his bucket. There's a pay-per-view in 7 days.
Yeah, there's a pay-per-view.
That they gave us matches for.
You would never know.
You would never know. You really wouldn't know. We have an Intercontinental title match. It's 3-on-1.
Well, wait, how come we've only got 3 announced matches?
They ripped up the card and changed everything.
It's like they gave Saudi Arabia all the matches it should have been for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but at the same time, if they announced any more matches, it'd give you major spoilers.
That's why we only had one match announced before the show. But we'll talk about the Intercontinental title match. Handicap, 3-on-1. Braun Strowman defense against Shinsuke Nakamura, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn. Omega, what's your thoughts, opinions, and who you got?
This is bizarre. This is a weird match, 3-on-1 for a title. I don't know. Are they all the Intercontinental champion?
Yes. It's the best answer I got.
I mean, a Canadian, a Swiss, and a Japanese man
taking
are the Intercontinental champion.
I mean, it would make sense.
This is going to be an interesting match, especially if it does come down to, like, whoever's going to get the pin is the real champion.
Well, you know, Sami's not going to want the belt. He's going to want what's best for Shinsuke. So it's then.
Are you with the opportunity right there? Braun's all laid out and he's the only one on his feet to make the cover.
Well, you know, Sami will jump on him and then get shoved off in one second. You know, that's going to be a spot.
Not even before the one count is a full one count.
do you think the numbers will catch up to Braun on this one then, Omega?
I think it's booked to look that way, but ultimately I think Braun's going to win because there's probably going to be some weird shenanigans to the match.
Well, my initial prediction is Sami Zayn takes one for the team.
Okay, so is that's your pick? You're picking Braun wins?
That would be my pick too.
Okay, just getting you on the record.
Yeah.
So what's his bucket? No. So what's his bucket? Can write it down.
Now, yeah, what's his bucket? So yeah, that's my prediction for the winner. And you know, it'll wind up being a 2-on-1 handicap thanks to Sami Zayn getting his ass knocked out or some shit.
Okay. Then you have a match that was just recently added because they took away the men's, singles elimination chamber match. It is Miz and Morrison defending their tag team titles against the New Day. Heavy Machinery, poor Otis, the Usos, Ziggler and Rude, and the Lucha House Party.
Nope.
What, nobody on the Lucha House Party?
Yep.
Why? I mean, Lucha, Lucha, Lucha.
Nope.
And they basically earned a shot in this by being a tag team on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Are they travel with SmackDown. They're never on SmackDown. Who's winning, Tim?
Well, it would make no sense for Miz and Morrison to drop the title so soon after picking it up.
It feels like to me they're setting up a 3-way match at WrestleMania.
Uh-huh. So, Miz Morrison retain.
Omega?
I'm in the same boat. I don't think there's any reason to move the championship at this point. You know, you need to hold on to it for Mania.
And then the match they've been building up, the only match that has actual real build to it. Kinda. It is the number one contenders elimination chamber match for the Raw Women's Championship. You have Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan, aka the Riott Squad, Natalya, Asuka, and Shayna Baszler. Boy, I wonder who's winning this one, Omega.
Is your reminder that the top star in the business right now is Becky Lynch. Because we have an entire chamber match dedicated to just figuring out who gets to fight her. Yeah, this is completely like this is the most important elimination chamber match, which is actually kind of weird. There's no men's singles chamber match for any belt.
It was supposed to be a number one contenders elimination chamber match featuring Robert Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, Braun Strowman, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, and was it Elias? I forget. They've been promoting it locally for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Card subject to change.
Well, I think there was a graphic and everything.
No, legit, there was a commercial. I've seen the commercial because it's here in Philly. They've been promoting it for 3 weeks.
It's a local commercial. I've seen it on Philly television. I get a Philly channel here on my IPTV box.
Yeah, it's been a local commercial. I was like, I had to stop, pause, wait. Oh, those are the people in the match. Cool. Not happening. I mean, it's obvious Shayna's winning, right?
If Shayna doesn't win, we riot.
By the way, Shayna's versus Asuka on Raw.
Should be good.
I think that'll be a good match.
Looking at these two Elimination Chamber matches, which one are you more looking forward to watching?
The women's. There's more at stake, more to prove, and it's Shayna Baszler is going to kill everybody.
Oh, you know, I'm looking at this rundown on who's in the chamber compared to the men's, the tag, and the only thing that pops out to me, Shayna, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for this one, just because of Shayna.
Shayna in a cage, yeah. Shayna Cage. But the interesting thing, dynamic is going to be Liv and Ruby, because of what happened a few weeks ago in Raw, and Sarah now being the peacemaker in the middle, trying to keep her girls apart, I guess, before they kill each other.
It's a swerve. They're going to get back together.
Maybe, or they can get a match together, a triple threat match. They're fine.
I mean, Sarah needs something to do. Like, she could try to play peacemaker and then just knock Liv the hell out.
Or help Liv knock out Ruby. Either one works. So that's Chamber. Exciting stuff.
Don't forget, everybody, more matches will be announced this week, and you'll be able to do your pick'em picks.
Hopefully after SmackDown, because that's probably when we'll have the full card. That's our show.
That is the show for this evening, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and we're glad you joined us. That being said, don't forget tomorrow, immediately following Raw, the post show.
Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Oh my God. Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, the return of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rock radio show with your host, Lindsay Ward.
We're going to attempt, keyword attempt, to preview Elimination Chamber with more matches.
Hopefully, you'll have another two announced.
We'll talk NXT, we'll talk all the news you can handle. It's The Rock Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's The Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You name it, it's all there. Make sure you follow Lindsay on Twitter at Lindsay Ward. Follow her on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward. She likes to go on and stream some Fortnite creative stuff on Saturdays and Sundays, so follow her, twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward. Do it!
Yeah, and if no matches, no extra matches are announced, then you got Fortnite with friends.
Which we'll be following it.
Yep. Immediately afterwards, yeah.
That's what we do. The squad gets wins now.
Hey, guess what I found out?
What?
I actually could be able to play Fortnite on my 360.
Make sure you check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. every Wednesday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. It will be available to download.
Thank you for being excited for me, you prick.
I don't think it's available for Xbox 360.
It's not. There's a hack. It's doable, however. You can find out if you have an Xbox 360. You can find out how to mod your system. So you can actually play Fortnite on Xbox 360, find the instructions on YouTube.
I can't imagine it would run well.
Ask Brent. He runs on a bad PC. Probably feel like that.
There you go. Of course, Saturday Night Midnighter is as close as I can get to. It's another edition of The Great Debate, better known as CB Radio.
Yeah. Omega was on last night. Because we had a debate that he was interested in, so he was a part of it. It's the Mega Man debate. Check that out, cbradiolive.com. What we're doing this week?
Who knows?
I do know. I do know, but I don't want to share it yet. It's a good one, though.
Bastard.
I'll tell you off the air, Tim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't want to put it out there publicly yet. It's a good
Shame
one, though. It's a good one, though.
So good.
CBradiolive on Facebook, Twitter. CBRealive.com, greater than greatdebate.com.
Hey, Omega, what's happening next Sunday night?
I think we have a pay-per-view again.
Yeah, you know what that means.
WTR Sunday night. Severe disappointment?
Potentially. You never know. But it's always possible, yeah. That means programming notes. WTR Sunday night will be live immediately following the pay-per-view. So if you show up into the chat room at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, saying, "Where the hell is everybody?" You'll know why.
We'll probably,
or at least you should know why.
We'll probably be on the air because there's only three matches announced, so I don't think it's going to take 3 hours for three matches.
Oh, I think that they're going to add some matches this week. It's just a guess.
You never know.
Maybe the Elimination Chamber matches are each scheduled to go 55 minutes.
They could.
That's 110 minutes, and then the IC title 3-on-1, another 30 minutes. So that's 140 minutes. That's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Then
that's a pay-per-view.
Then add entrances, you're covered.
Yeah.
And video packages and pyro.
There you go. So we could be on the air, actually, by 10:45.
Hey, let's remember how short December to Dismember is, so there's precedent.
Oh, God, do you have to make us remember that one?
I had to remember Super Showdown tonight.
In Your House. That was 2 hours. That was cool.
Oh, well, anyway, there it is. So, that being said, pay attention to WWE so you know what matches are getting announced, and throw your picks up for Pick'em, facebook.com/WTR Sunday night, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio.
Network. facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio network. twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. twitter.com/WTR Sunday night. You can follow Tim on all the social medias. You can do the complain command chat as well to find out how
to follow. Yeah, don't
do that. Yeah. Complain command chat, tell you how to follow Tim. That's a thing.
I just pay for this shit. I don't run it.
But you're the complaint department. He's at Flames Forums and Voice Insanity.
Yeah, Flames Forums for sports, bad jokes, and assorted whatevers. And then, of course, the serious side is at Voice Insanity.
Omega has socials.
Yep, most of my socials can be found by searching out TJ Omega for anyone who wants to check out Facebook. However, you'll have to search TJ Reviews. Anywhere else, however, you can find me at TJ Omega over on Twitter. You can find me at TJ Omega over on YouTube. And for a little bit extra, you can find me over at TJOmega.net.
Make sure you follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive and Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangular button above the screen. Make sure you also hit the heart button because you can get notifications when we go live with all of our content, whether it's Fortnite, podcast, you name it. Just hit the follow button and the subscribe button. Do the thing. Use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag and hashtag epic partner.
There you go. That being said, we're done for the evening. Everybody have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday immediately following the Elimination Chamber right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.